Well, I bid you all a good evening. Usually I'd be a man of few words, but it looks like I won't be getting off with a few words tonight. I just want to gladly share with you all tonight how Jesus came into my life. I'd like to begin by publicly thanking the Lord for saving me, and that I have a testimony to share here tonight with you all. Secondly, if I could thank the Reverend Higginson for allowing me to the opportunity to share it with you here, all gathered in here this evening. And I would like to thank all of those from the bottom of my heart who have prayed for me and led up to this evening. Thank you so much. Finally, I would like to thank you all for coming out tonight to hear God's word. Can I start, please, in a word of prayer? Glorious Father in heaven, we thank you for your unconditional love towards us. Thank you for showing just how great your love for us is by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world while we were still sinners, to die for us on that cross at Calvary. We thank you for the precious gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. We will praise your name forever and ever, for you have all wisdom and power. We put our hope in you, Lord. You are our helper and our shield. Our hearts rejoice in you, for we trust in your holy name. Lord, Father, as I stand before thee tonight, please give me the correct words and guidance I need as I share my testimony with all gathered here. May all words that I say be heard clearly and meaningfully, that they may glorify thy most precious and holy name. And most of all, Lord, may souls come to know thee here tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who don't know me, my name is Robert Holmes. I was born in Ballymoney's Route Hospital, which is no longer there anymore, on the 2nd of September 1971. Being the second child of four, I have two sisters and a brother. At that time, my mother and father lived at a place called Bushville Terrace, which is just a row of houses in the countryside, about 5 miles east of Ballymoney. If you blink, you sort of miss it. About the first 2 to 3 years of my life, we lived there before moving roughly 2 miles away to the small village of Stranogham. That's another small place, about 5 miles east of Ballymoney. I attended the local primary school there, which is now called Bush Folly, and then on to Ballymoney High School in my teenage years. I would eventually follow in my father's footsteps and train to become a joiner, which I still do to this day. My mother and father attended the local Bushville Presbyterian Church, so we went along there most Sundays. There would be Sunday school there every week as well, so my brother and sisters would go along with me every Sunday morning. During my time there, we would learn the catechism and get taught Bible stories. There would also be a youth club there every Friday night, where we could meet up with our friends and play various games. Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock was also a time when we went along to the local independent Orange Hall in Stranogham to sing choruses and learn Bible messages. I can remember learning passages such as Isaiah chapter 53 and John chapter 3. So I knew something of the Bible from quite an early age. I was to become very keen on fishing when I was about 12 or 13, and my dad would allow me to go along to the local River Bush, where I'd spend most of my summer evenings. It was a great way of getting out of going to the Moss to work with the peats with my parents. There was only two good things about the Moss, and that was the tea, as you can probably tell by the size of me these days, and the way out of it. Later on in my teenage years, I started to hang around bars, nightclubs, often get drunk. Going to church would stop. Weekends became a time of drinking alcohol. Friday and Saturday nights, most weekends, and even some Sundays. I was also a member of a local flute band in those days, and we would travel up and down the country by bus, drinking, going to and from parades, maybe not home to early hours the next day. I met my wife-to-be, Lucinda, when I was about 22 years old at a nightclub in Port Stewart. It was called Nero's. It's now a Baptist church. It was an outskirts of Port Stewart. We got married in 1995 in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church with Reverend George White. Almost 2 years later, our son Gary was born on February the 19th, 1997. This was to be one of the best days of my life. The years flew by while I enjoyed watching him grow up, coming through primary and grammar school years. I was by now approaching my 40th year roughly, and still getting drunk the odd time. Sometimes I would wake up on a Sunday morning, sore head, empty pockets, thinking to myself, this isn't right. It wasn't fair on my family, to say the least. I was getting fed up with it. I told myself it would have to come to an end. But I always kept going back for more. There had to be more ways to enjoy life rather than drinking every weekend, wasting money on alcohol. In the weeks and months that followed, I wouldn't have gone out so much to the local bars. I would drink less. In fact, my wife Lucinda's mum and dad, or some of you know better as William and Fionnuala Coolman, would have invited us out to church on special occasions, for example, children's days or maybe family and friends nights. I would also go along to some of the gospel missions, which took place over the years. For example, there would be a big tent, I can remember, up at the Northwest 200 paddock area. I remember attending gospel mission here in this hall, and one at McCoskin, Portrush Town Hall, to name a few. But there's one little hall where I attended a mission one week night, which will stay in my memory forever. It's the little one in Martinsbray in Coleraine. It was the Reverend Higginson who was preaching that evening, and I couldn't even tell you what he was preaching on, but my heart was deeply stirred on this occasion. All I can remember about the meeting was him holding up one of the little gospel tracts or a little booklet, and he said if anybody would like one, to just ask him going out the door at the end. I still have it today, and it's called A New Beginning. And I have a couple with me here tonight. It's a very good, it's answered a lot of questions for me. And if anybody would like one here, I have a couple here, and I'm sure Mr. Higgins would have a few as well, if there's not enough to go around. But anyway, as I took it from his hand that evening, going out the door, I could hardly hold back my tears. As I drove home to Port Stewart that evening, the tears continued to flow uncontrollably down my face. This wasn't me. I knew I had come under conviction for my sins from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit not only convicts people of sin, but he also brings them to repentance. In Luke 13, verse 5. Or in Acts 17, verse 30, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to our sin and opens our heart to receive his grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace of God are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A short time after this, my father took ill and would be in and out of hospital a few times. This went on for a while, then one day he collapsed when at home with mum. After various tests, they found out he had a rapid form of dementia as well as some other underlying problems. He would spend the next 9 weeks in hospital, gradually failing away. I didn't have a good feeling about this. It was only when a nurse came out and told me one evening that there was nothing they could do for him and that they were gradually winding him down that it hit home with me. I didn't know where to turn. As I left the ward in tears, all I could do was to pray to God some sort of miracle would happen. Sadly, Daddy passed away on June the 30th, 2011. As I stood at his bedside in Corian Hospital, I had never witnessed anybody passing away before in front of me, so this hit me very hard indeed. The day of my father's funeral came. I didn't know how I was going to cope that day, to stay strong, but with the comfort of my family members and friends, I was able to do so. I'm sure all of you here tonight have been to funerals in your time, but it's when a close family member has passed away and you get to stand very close to an open grave that your mind starts to think about the day that's coming when we too will be lowered to our final resting place. Where will we be going? To heaven or hell? I'll repeat it. One of two places, heaven or hell. I've had people say to me, when this kind of talk comes around, sure, it doesn't matter. When you're dead, you're dead. But when you're dead, your soul lives on and has to spend eternity in one of these two places. For example, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Or in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Going back to the day where I buried my father, I stood there somewhat in deep thought, staring into that open grave. My head filled with spiritual thoughts. I wanted to change the way I lived. My life was heading the wrong way. I realized I needed a savior. Just as I was in deep thought at the graveside, I was suddenly distracted by the words of the minister who was reading from the Bible. They are the words of John 14, verses 1 to 6. And Mr. Gray preached in these words last night, but if I could just read them out again tonight just to refresh our memories. John 14, verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These were very comforting words to me that day, especially verse 6, when Jesus says unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Shortly after this, I would start attending church regularly, morning and evening. But folks, attending church won't get you to heaven. I was starting to get more and more concerned for my soul and becoming more impatient and getting saved, and I would think a lot about this every day at work. One summer evening after this, I had arranged to meet the Reverend Higginson to chat about my troubles. With some very good words indeed, and he told me just to put or simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all my faith and heart, and put your faith and trust in him. Matthew chapter 21 verse 22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. One day, not so very long after this, I was fishing along with my mate and his two sons in a small boat off Port Stewart. One of the sons was a Christian fella, and I don't know how the chat came about, but we got talking about spiritual things. He asked me straight out of the blue, do you know Jesus? I replied, yes, I know who Jesus is, and I just as quickly replied back, do you know him personally as your saviour? Have you asked him into your life? I had to admit I had never did this. I don't know the reason why, but I couldn't wait to get alone that day to pray. I guess I just took for granted that if I lived a good life, the Lord would do the rest, but I know this is far from true. I felt so ignorant of the fact how many times I'd heard the gospel preached, and yet here was the answer staring me in the face. That little three-letter word, ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Later that day, when I got alone in a quiet spot, as I walked my dogs, I fell on my knees and prayed to the Lord, asking him to save me from my sins. Very shortly after this, one evening, I was just walking along as normal with my dogs again, when suddenly, just out of the blue, I got this overwhelming feeling come over me of calmness and joy within me. I wasn't thinking of anything in particular at the time, but I knew deep down that the Lord had answered my prayers. This feeling was like nothing else I had experienced before, one of gladness, peace and joy, relief in my heart. I immediately gave thanks to God in prayer. Telling other people about Jesus can feel scary and intimidating, but taking that step to tell someone about your new faith in Christ is so powerful. I plucked up the courage to tell my wife and my mother-in-law, Fionnuala, and I could see a tear coming to my wife's eye. In the days that followed, I would start to pray more. I've never looked back at the ways I used to be. Using bad language, drinking, all stopped. I would start to get more involved in going to prayer meetings, treating people more the way I'd like to treat myself. Growing stronger every day by the grace of God and the help and friendship of his people. I also enjoy attending church now, hearing God's word, and enjoying it more than ever. I would also say I would be more contented with life these days, knowing that the Lord is with me in everything I do. I read the Bible more, doing things for people I never would have done before. In times of trouble, I have now the Lord to turn to in prayer, and I know he won't let me down. As I near the end of all, I want to say tonight, I would love to make a special appeal to those of you here who still don't know the Lord. Please don't harden your hearts. Don't delay. Come today. Repent and turn from your sins. Ask the Lord for his saving grace and put your trust fully in him and him alone, and you won't be disappointed. It's as simple as that. The 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. I would like to finish off, if it's okay, by singing the words, although we've sung it already, of the hymn 311. And it's on page 302 of your hymn books. I had looked at various hymns on one Saturday night when I was writing this. On the Sunday morning after this, I was in the prayer meeting, and a dear brother in the Lord used the first line of this hymn in his prayer, and this just confirmed for me that this was what the Lord had wanted me to sort of pick this hymn and finish off. So it reads as follows. We've already sung it tonight, but we can sing it again. It's Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Could we please stand as we sing, please? And thank you very much for listening.